will interface with a July 20, 2013 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. NIMS, the National Incident Management System, and ICS, the Incident Command System, were developed and implemented in the aftermath of 9/11 by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency of the U.S. government, to provide a structured response to emergencies. Today, completion of a handful of ICS NIMS training classes has become mandatory nationwide for folks who want to become first responders in times of natural disasters and man-made emergencies. At the 2013 Dayton Hamvention, the Department of Homeland Security held a forum that presented a handful of NIMS and ICS trainers from the amateur radio community nationwide. Last week we heard from Randy Kerr, KD4KHO, a trainer from the Atlanta, Georgia Office of Emergency Management. This week we'll hear from two more trainers, both of whom have seen the ICS and NIMS programs in action and amateur radio's involvement in them.
My name is Carter Davis. I'm from across the pond out west. You know, there's a pond called the Pacific Ocean. My call is KH6FV, so that should give you a clue right there where I'm from. Yes, I'm from the Hawaiian Islands. Born and raised there. Been an amateur since the early 70s. Was involved early on in some HF work. I was kind of my interest. I was always interested in electronics out of high school going into college. Was involved in Army Mars. Did a lot of patching back from the Vietnam days and from the Pacific area, when their commercial circuits were still radio patches. They didn't even have the satellites out yet. And I remember hearing Barry Goldwater on air doing patches back to Vietnam and our soldiers out there supporting our nation, et cetera. It was all great stuff back then. I got involved in public service kind of first in the amateur radio environment. In the mid to late 70s, I came on board our emergency management organization as a RACES coordinator, and I really got interested in the public safety endeavors and ended up in the fire service, and I've done 31 years in the fire service and retired. In that process involving radio communications, I was involved in the transition from a standard conventional radio spectrum the fire service was using in VHF over into 800 megahertz trunking programs, going to digital networks as well, going into data networks. A great transition to watch all of that occur. And then, of course, after 9-1-1, one of the big outcomes that came about was recognizing that our ability to interoperate in our nation was very limited. Many of the public safety agencies had disparate radio systems, couldn't talk to one another. Number one issue in all the 9-1-1 activities was probably communications. In fact, I'm sure many of you folks have participated over the years in many exercises. What's always one of those things that seemed to need improvement? Communications. So I was able to watch this all grow, establishment of a Office of Emergency Communications, development of the ICTAP program, and the movement of public safety towards interoperability, and participated in a lot of that process. I think it's very great that the Office of Emergency Communications has recognized the value that the amateur radio service has towards public safety. But here is probably one of the key issues. If I start to mention to this group terms like SWR, who understands what I mean when I use the term SWR? Who understands the term when I say BALM? Okay, now if I ask you to report to the ICC, check in with the INCM. If the INCM's not around, go over to the radio and check with them and make sure he documents on the Form 214 that you're here and available for service. What does all those terms mean to you? It's total Greek. That's the way our public safety nationwide is operating. So if we want to step into the fold in a system and help them, what do we need to do as amateurs? We have to learn the language. That's what this course is about. I think you've heard it from John and to a certain degree from Randy. Nobody here is looking at the groups and saying, you can't do this, you can't do that as your organizational structure. That's not the intent of OXCOM. OXCOM is there to prepare the amateur radio operator to integrate into public safety and understand the language. It's basically what it is. Let me say this about ICS. I started in the fire service when we shot from the hip. The guy in that white shirt showed up, and he screwed it up. And I'm not picking at any chiefs here that might be here in the presence. Because we lacked appropriate management skills in emergency response. And we recognize in public safety that, for example, the wildland fire guys, they seem to take a piece of land that has nothing there, have the whole mountain burning, and they come in with 500 to 1,000 people. They set up a camp. They get people out there addressing the issues of that event and resolve the issues. And they've documented everything. They've accounted for everybody. And how do they do that? Well, they adopted a skill set that really developed by the state of California called FireScope. And integrated it into eventually ICS. Now, I dispatch out to Type 1 and Type 2 teams around the country to these events, and I can tell you, ICS NIMS works. When it's utilized and it's used, I watch it work. I watch people come from all over the country. Some people bring their tents with them. Some people bring their sleeping bags with them. Some people bring their 96 hours of food with them, whatever. But when you check in, guess who's now responsible for you? Actually, when you dispatch for your home, who's responsible for you? The incident commander. That system is in play. So we want to help them. What do we need to do? We need to learn their system. And that's what getting some of the basic skill set online, taking ICS 100, 200, A, B, C, and D, and all the rest, right? As I heard some of you guys, which 200 do you have? All right? Which 800 do you have, right? Yeah, but they're upgrading it a little bit, 700, 800, and then having some basic skill sets in amateur radio with that general class license, recognizing that it's probably in some cases more than just FM, so that you can start to understand the language. Now, when you go and help these people in ICS, who are you going to report to? You're going to go up to the incident commander? Is he going to accept all 1,000 people and say, oh, I see you're here. Thank you for coming. There's a system in place. You know, you're probably going to integrate with a communications unit leader, right? So there's this whole process here. And even though you understand SWR and BALM and all the rest of that, you got to learn the language. And after teaching this course a number of times with some of the other instructors here, this is the feedback I get, is the fact that we've allowed you, the amateur community, the opportunity to understand the skill set of working with an ICS and the NIMS format. And I think it's worked well. We've had very good feedback. And ICS is not rigid, very flexible. You only stand up what you need to stand up. And it allows for things like crossing jurisdictional lines, going across the river, going across the country. But if I start to use terms like a MAC or a DOC, right, or an EOC, now you guys probably heard of EOCs, you start to realize that after taking this course, you would know what that nomenclature means. So that's kind of my intro to this forum. We're here to help you integrate into the modern public safety role in which the incident commander is now responsible for everybody on scene, whether you're a Mars person, Aries person, whether you're a Races person. They don't look at that identity as that individual coming from that group. You're coming here to help this community address the needs that they have to address. And I think that's what this course is all about.
We're learning more about the integration of ham radio into NIMS, the National Incident Management System, and ICS, the Incident Command System, programs developed by FEMA in the aftermath of 9/11 to provide a structured response to emergencies and disasters. You're listening to The Rain Report, available 24/7 from therainreport.com and on Twitter.
You are listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
My name is Jason Matthews, K4AUS. I've been involved in amateur radio for 20 years this year, and my professional background is career law enforcement and law enforcement and EMS and fire communications. I'm also originally from Central Florida, from the Orlando area, and I've been in the law enforcement business there for 15 years this year, and about 10 of those 15 years I've been in law enforcement, EMS, and fire communications. management for my agency and for also for our Homeland Security region. That involves being a COMEL, COMT trainer. I was a COMEL and COMT trainer for the state of Florida before moving on working with the ICTAP program, which I have been doing since 2011, going around and filling the TA requests as they are scheduled out around the country. With my amateur radio background and with my law enforcement background, I've seen how ICS can benefit both. I worked in law enforcement before ICS was embraced by law enforcement. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, before 9/11, before the Katrinas, before those things occurred, on the cop shop side of the house, we kind of shunned ICS. It was kind of, oh, that's a fire thing. Let's let the EMS and fire do their thing. We didn't really embrace it. We really didn't get involved in it too much. At least in our area, it was just kind of, we didn't really feel it was necessary. Well, we had a lot of wildfires in the late 90s. We had a lot of hurricanes in the early 2000s. We had, and in fact, in our area specifically, we had a officer shot and killed, two others shot, and we ended up having, in a small area where there's usually a few officers, a few fire stations on duty to handle this area, we had 800 to 900, maybe 1,000 first responders come into the area to assist. And after that, we realized we don't have the tools to be able to manage these kind of influxes into our county. We used to have the mentality, we're going to worry about our county, we're going to worry about our own people. We never had a experience where we had that many people coming in. It really stressed our agency on lots of different fronts. On the operation side, on the communication side, logistically, we just were not able to support that type of scenario. So we started reaching out to look at what we could do. That really started our venture into ICS and NIMS in our agency and within our area. And things are much different today because of those experiences. And I really feel that it does benefit all first responders as well as non-government organizations and communications volunteers such as yourself to have that knowledge, to have that background. You are going to have that opportunity to show up on a scene, and you're not going to hear that Greek coming out of the staging area manager when you roll up on the scene. When they tell you to go to the check-in unit leader, you're going to know what those things mean. When they tell you to demob, you're going to know what those things mean. It just gives you those extra tools in your toolbox to be able to succeed and to integrate within that public safety unit, to be able to integrate yourselves in. Because I think we've all seen for many, many years that the public safety communications was over here and our auxiliary or volunteer communications were over here, and they really didn't understand each other and they really just kind of did their own thing. And sometimes they would possibly interfere with each other. And I don't necessarily mean on a technical level. I mean even at a operational or a policy level. There would be different things that would interfere between the two divisions. And I think it definitely serves us with the OXCOM curriculum that has been developed to integrate our communications volunteers into the public safety communications unit. It doesn't mean that the COMEL is going to tell you where to put your operators. It doesn't mean the COMEL is going to tell you what frequencies to be on. Because myself as a COMEL, I'm going to depend on you, and trust me when I say that if you've ever been a COMEL, you know that you're going to have enough things to do. You're not going to be having the kind of time to micromanage anything. We're going to bring in the experts, such as all of you that are here, to handle those things for us. And if we're calling for you, that means that we're going to need networks set up that you're best experienced with and that you have the knowledge to set up and operate. With that being said, I think it goes without saying that we really appreciate all of you and everything that you do, and really appreciate you all being here and taking the time to come and learn about what OEC does and the programs that we have to offer. How many OXCOM graduates do we have in here? Okay, well, hopefully if we're back here next year, I'd like to see everybody in the room raise their hand with another year's worth of classes. Hopefully this is going to be rolled out. With that, it's important for all of the volunteer groups, whatever OXCOM role that you play, is that it's important for you to market yourself to your served agencies and make sure that they know what your capabilities are. And there's lots of different ways to do that. And the time to do that is not when there's an emergency for you to go knocking on the door saying, hey, we want to come in and set up. The time to do those things is at field day, at the open house for the club. Whenever your organization may be having a function, invite those served agencies to come out when they have a little downtime, when they have a clear head and they can understand and look to see what you're doing. They can take the time to meet everyone, learn what your capabilities are, and go home with that feeling of, yeah, you know what, I can call those guys if I have a problem. And with that also goes the ability to make sure that you keep your options open and go into those deployments with an open mind and thinking outside of the box. Because more and more we see that local budgets, state budgets, city budgets have been cut. And folks that manage public safety communication systems and folks that manage peace apps, folks that run the radio systems, we're constantly being asked to do more with less all the time. And there's a huge opportunity now more than ever for you all to become integrated into those areas. It may not necessarily be setting up your equipment. It may not necessarily be shadowing folks at a special event. It may be doing things like working in the communications unit, programming radios. It may involve things like running a radio cache, learning how that accountability system works. Those are the things to me as a comm elder that are valuable. It's valuable for me to be able to call you in and say, well, today I want you to set up a slow scan TV network so that we can monitor the parade route. Next week, I may need an APRS network to monitor a marathon. Or I may be calling you to tell you to come out and help us set up a mobile 800 megahertz trunking system. If you're not familiar with that, it's probably going to make you a little uneasy, make you a little unsure. We want to do away with that. We want to see more volunteerism within our groups, within our areas, because that enables us to have more people to count on, and it allows us to serve our agencies and serve our communities better when in the time of a disaster occurs, or when there's an emergency, when there's a shooting, when there's a plane crash, whatever the case may be, because we all know that sooner or later that we're going to see those things again.
This week, we excerpted from the 2013 Dayton Hamvention DHS Department of Homeland Security Forum. We heard from two trainers connected with DHS speaking on the benefits and importance of involving amateur radio in the National Incident Management System, NIMS, and the Incident Command System, ICS. Federally mandated programs that provide an effective and structured response to natural disasters and man-made emergencies. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2013 RAIN, all rights reserved. The RAIN Report may be transmitted on amateur radio via a Creative Commons license. See therainreport.com for details. Now for RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, building bridges through amateur radio. www.therainreport.com.